to add penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 or your copies. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amisha the Buddha, Amisha the Dharma, Amisha the Sangha. I said yesterday that I'd talk more about what really amounts to the willing following of the eternal. The leaf goes where the wind blows and does not disobey the wind. One of the great masters in early Chinese Zen, great master Kanshi Sosan, wrote a poem called Trust in the Heart. And one of the famous lines from this poem says, the way is only difficult for those who pick and choose. If we imagine a leaf being blown by a wind, the leaf doesn't discriminate between pleasant places and unpleasant places where it might be blown. It's all the same to the leaf, whether it's blown into a puddle, whether it's blown into a fire, where it's blown into a heap of other leaves. It's all the same. If we would truly follow the eternal, wherever the wind of the eternal blows us, it must fundamentally, for us, be all the same. We can't pick and choose. I like this, I don't like that. Of course we have our likes and dislikes. The root of them goes back to feeling itself. Or feeling has qualities. Feeling can be very painful. Feeling can be very pleasurable. Mostly we tend to like what is more enjoyable and dislike, want to avoid what is painful. And of course, it's necessary that it be that way because we couldn't survive otherwise. Pain provides us with a signal. Pleasure mostly does the same. And still at the same time, fundamentally, if we would follow the eternal, if we would allow the wind of the eternal to blow us where it will, then our trust and our acceptance has to be greater than our like and dislike. And our faith has to be greater than our worry about what might happen to us if we truly follow the eternal. If we can live in this way, then we find that everything that happens is actually for our good, and that the painful, difficult things in life are helping us just as much as anything else. When we have a goal in mind that we're pursuing, it can be very unpleasant for us, very difficult, when we hit a block that we simply can't get around. Rather than refusing to accept that no and trying to turn it by sheer effort of will into a yes, which very often simply cannot be done, we can instead adopt the attitude of accepting the no and allowing it to help steer us. We can be saved by those obstacles. We can be unwittingly headed in the wrong direction and hit obstacles that are basically telling us, slow down, reconsider, press the reset button. Is this really what is good to do? There are many such, what I think of as steering events in life. Life is full of steering events. Events that are giving us clues, giving us advice. The more we trust that this is the case, that the practical events in daily life are actually so arranging themselves as to help us, the more we trust that, the more we find it in fact is true, the more we don't trust it, the more we end up in a fight with these events, out of harmony with the natural flow of compassion. I think of these, all these steering events as the steering committee. I've heard of this term steering committees. I'm not absolutely sure what a steering committee is in the human social context. I guess a group of people who are trying to make sure something goes in the right direction. Well, I think that every one of us has our own steering committee that is manifesting for our benefit every day of our lives. And if we can bow to this naturally arising teaching, naturally arising pointing of the way that happens, we can live in harmony with the natural flow of compassion that permeates the universe. All the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.